more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus
to help me along the way.
Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Today we have Prophetess Dixie Summers of the Authority of the Believer's Ministry to answer our question. Would you explain the difference between the gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet?
Now, what I want to explain and make it very clear that the gift of prophecy is not a position, meaning that you can be used in the gift of prophecy does not make you a prophet.
Come on, that's good.
So I think it's confusing with people because they'll say, well, God gave me a prophetic word that makes me a prophet. Well, no, all of God's people are prophetic. All of God's people. It does not put you in the office of a prophet. Prophet is an office like the apostle, like a pastor, a teacher, you know, an evangelist. So I want to make that clear that people understand that, because the gift of prophecy has been poured out on believers. Mm-hmm. He said, your men will prophesy. He told them, he said, this is what's going to happen, and it's happening where now that gift is poured out on the people of God. But they're getting confused, and they think because they're operating in the gift that they are actually a prophet. But the thing that can identify whether you are a prophet or not, did God call you? Because he calls a prophet.
Number one.
He calls you. So if he hasn't called you, then you're not a prophet. You're just prophetic.
Now, see, that's a good point.
Good.
It really is. Even Moses, when he talked, he said, I wish you all would prophesy.
Right. So in being used at the gift, in Corinthians, Paul told the people of Corinth to desire to prophesy.
Yes, he did.
So that meant for every believer to desire to prophesy. He did not say every believer was a prophet, but he did say every believer should have the desire to prophesy.
To hear more from Prophetess, you can visit them at the Authority of the Believer's Ministry, located at 950A Taylor Station Road in Gahanna, Ohio. Their Sunday morning worship service is at 11 a.m. Thank you, Prophetess.
The enemy often employs various methods and means and tactics to come against the people of God, but the good news for every born-again believer is that the tactics that the devil employs, although they might seem to be successful temporarily, they will not work to bring about your utter destruction. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But the part we want to focus on says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
I'm going to read that out of the Amplified Version. But he who commits sin, who practice evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest, made visible, was to undo. That means to destroy the works of the devil, what the devil has done.
Amen. And Be very sure, no matter what it feels like in your life today, if the enemy could have, he would have utterly destroyed you by now. He's not playing with you and allowing you to survive because he wants to drag you along. He's allowing you to survive because he doesn't have a choice. He's done everything within his power that he can do to destroy you, and you need to, no matter how defeated you might feel this morning, no matter how beat up you might feel, you need to look in the mirror and take inventory of the fact that you're still standing and the tactics of the devil did not work. One of the tactics the enemy uses is that he comes to bring calamity and trouble that he might defeat us. I mean, if you think about it, the enemy is always trying to bring about your destruction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 8, the Bible says, and you need to be encouraged by these words, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies.
In the Amplified version, it says, we are hedged in, meaning that we are pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassment and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, my God, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. No matter what you are going through, because sometimes it feels like in your life that once you're finished with one trial, another one comes. And you know, the Bible says that don't think it's strange when these fiery trials come to tempt you. My God, and it seems like there are times when there's one thing after another where it feels like that you're oppressed and you're troubled. And I like the part where it says, even in the King James Version, it says that we are perplexed. Haven't you had those situations where you just don't know what in the world has happened? I mean, you're wondering why you seem to be pressed on every side. You seem like you can't, there's no way out of this thing. So you stand perplexed and say, this is a strange thing.
And you know, perplexed means completely baffled and very puzzled.
Haven't you been like that
before? I'm telling you, I have been baffled.
Oh my goodness.
And if anyone has been living in Christ and tells you that some of the events that have unfolded in their life has not completely baffled them and utterly puzzled them, they are not being honest with you. Sometimes the enemy comes like a, feels like a tidal wave in your life. I just remember not long ago when I got one bad news after another bad news after another bad, and I'm thinking, stop answering the telephone, but you and I both know that doesn't make it go away.
It sure doesn't.
It's just when you have trouble on every side. I mean, there's trouble before you and trouble behind you and trouble on the left and nobody's got any good news.
It's just like when you're in a maze, and sometimes it might feel like you're in the midst of a maze and you're trying to find the right door. You can't find your way out. I mean, it's just like you're just going, when you turn left, you run into a wall. When you turn right, you're running into a wall, and you just stand there and just perplexed. And you know what that is? God is saying, if you would just call on my name, he said, I'll lead you out. There is a way out. God would not have you trapped in a situation that you could not find your way out or that he couldn't lead you out. But it's the enemy's job to confuse you and to puzzle you. And usually when you can't find your way out of that maze, what do? You just sit down.
And don't you sometimes think, what a cruel joke someone is playing?
Yes.
They know. Sometimes you feel like there is no way out, but there is a way out.
But there is a way out.
And thanks be unto God who gives us victory through Christ Jesus, that he always gives us a way out. I mean, he does not allow any trouble or calamity to come in your life without giving you a way of escape. The way out is always Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way.
Yes, he is. And you know, the, that latter part of that says that yet you might be perplexed and unable to find a way out. It says, but not driven to despair. You're not just doing something that is driving you to despair when God's saying, only thing you need to do is just to trust me. Because there's many people who are standing on the corner that asking for a few dollars or a few cents because they're in a perplexed and puzzled situation. Mm. And he's saying that if you would
and
just trust me, and they don't know what to do, and therefore people get in arguments, and sometimes they get to a point where they're just perplexed and puzzled and don't know what to do. So what happens is you turn and try to find your own way out of the situation.
Big mistake.
And because you are driven to despair. But he's saying that Paul is saying, listen, I've been in this situation before. Yeah, I'm going to admit to you that I've been perplexed and puzzled.
But if you're in Christ,
I've never been driven
and
to despair.
And you know, that's the difference. You go through the same kind of trying and testing like anybody else. But the difference is your hope is in an eternal God that can do anything but fail. And there does go you, but for the grace of God. It could have been me out on the street with no clothes and no food and no shelter over my head. But God didn't see fit to let these things be. It's by his power and his mercy and his grace that he keeps on keeping me. Had it not been for the goodness of a merciful God, there go I, but for the grace of God.
You know, just sometimes if you can't say anything, just say, devil, this trick is not going to work. This is not going to be the end of me because I have one that is greater. Even if you're standing with tears in your eyes, it's declared, you know, it's like you're putting your foot down. You know how sometimes you stand up, you're saying, I ain't moving. And you know, you've come to a resolve.
You know, when we were little kids, we put the little
chip
on our shoulder.
Yes.
And we say, knock it off if you want to.
They say, yeah.
I mean, you know, because sometimes you get to the point, even when you know the person you're daring is bigger than you and stronger than you. And so it is with your enemy. In all reality, the devil is bigger than you and stronger than you. But when you are in Christ, I mean to tell you, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Yes, the devil's bigger than me, but the devil is no match for my Jesus.
I remember times when I was just faced with some situations and was just tired. And I'm telling you, I just stood and said, listen, somebody got to win and it might as well be me. I ain't going out like that.
That's it.
I'm not going out like that. I may be leaving out of here, but I ain't leaving out like this. My purpose has not been fulfilled yet. I'm not leaving here
not like this.
I'm not defeated. I'm not going out like this.
Devil, this means war. Sometimes you gotta stand up and declare it. He's already declared war on you and all of your family. You're the only one cowering in a corner, acting like you don't have the biggest God and the baddest God in the whole wide world. You need to stand on the name of the Lord, like all of the soldiers of Israel cowered in the camp. But David, the littlest of them all, not even big enough to go to war, he came out and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? We come in the name of the Lord, and we apply the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Devil, this means war.
Put them together. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Cause this means war. This means war.
like that song. It has a great beat to it, upbeat. But what he's saying is that, devil, you will not win. This means war. And I do believe that there's a point in our lives that we got to realize that we are not going to church just to be going to church.
Amen.
We're not reading the word of God just to be reading the word. We are in a war. The devil is coming against your family. He's coming against your job. He's coming against your loved ones, your relationships. And so you have to stand and say, devil, this will not work.
You have to
be able to stand. It will not work. This mean war. And the other part of that song says, I plead the blood of Jesus over. I mean, it is the blood that protects us. It was the blood that was shed. You know, when we read it, when we first came in, was 1 John 3. And it talked about, for this reason that Jesus Christ was made manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. So we know that we have an armor and we have a protector, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ.
Another thing that the enemy uses, and along with calamity and trouble, to bring defeat in our lives is he will attempt to distract us. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 27, the Bible says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? They were in the ship and Jesus came walking to them on the water, and they thought it was a ghost. And Peter said, well, if it's the Lord, then you bid me come out of this ship and walk on the water. Mm. And all you need is a word from God. When he says come, everything that was impossible before he bid you come becomes possible by the very word that he speaks when he says come. So Peter got out of the ship. He's the only one that got out of the ship. Mm-hmm. He's the only one save Christ that walked on the water. The Bible says that the wind was so boisterous and loud, and the distractions from every which way came, and Peter became afraid. And we know that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So when he became afraid, he was no longer operating in faith, and he took his eyes off of the Lord, and immediately he began to sink. But even when we do what we know we shouldn't do, all we got to do is say, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand. How many times has he rescued you? Too many for me to count. He keeps on rescuing me. Lord, save me.
And you were talking about distractions, and I'm looking up the definition. It says a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. That's what the devil comes to do. You know what God has called you to do. You know what you need to be praying for. But when you go down to pray, then the phone rings or something else begins to happen. Those are the distractions to keep you from being in the company of God, keeps you from communicating with them. And then the second description is, or definition, it says extreme agitation of the mind and the emotions. And when your mind get off of Jesus, when your mind is distracted, sometimes you feel very disconnected or fragmented. It's because you are distracted. You may fall 7 different times. He said, but the Lord will pick
Keep
you up every
you
time.
Up.
So if you're out there, if you cry unto the Lord, he said, I promise you, I will come and get you.
And you know what's good about it, LJ Renee? On the third time, me and you, you know, we'd be like, look, you quit going off that cliff. Any idiot would know if you keep doing the same thing, you'll keep getting
but
the same
But your emotions
result.
Get into
but
it.
But you keep on doing it. But when God forgives you the first time, when he comes back the second time, he doesn't have in his remembrance the fact that he did this for you on yesterday. I mean, he is so amazing. A God that can do anything but fail. But the one thing God does not do, he does not remember remember my sins once he's washed them away.
See, the devil tells you, you shouldn't have been out here anyway. You know, the devil is the one who is
the accuser of the
brethren. That's right. And enticed you. You were right in the safety of the arms of God. And you got tempted and you decided to walk out of that circle. And he's telling you, listen,
you shouldn't have done it.
And he ain't going to receive you back anyway. And he'll say all kind of things to you because that's his purpose. Remember, in the word says he's a liar and he is the father, meaning he is the originator, he's the source of those lies.
And he keeps track of our faults and our sins. And
that's right.
When Joshua stands before God, Joshua the high priest and Zechariah stands before God, Satan the accuser stood with him to accuse him. No doubt in my mind that the railing accusations were accurate and true, just like they are against me and you. But God said of Joshua, like he says of you, take away the filthy garments. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God washes away your sins. He knows what you've done, but he's not offended by the stench of your sin.
My goodness. And you know, when you were talking, I was thinking about the prayer where it says, Lord, keep us from evil. What it's basically is saying, Lord, keep me from the evil one. You know, that's a prayer that you need to pray because, you know, if you try to go on your own strength, oh my God, you might be duped. But when you say, Lord, keep me from the evil one, you know, I'm reminded of many times when it looked like that other people were getting blessed, you know, and God was holding, it felt like God was holding me back, you know. And I'm saying, Lord, all these other people are getting, you know, jobs and doing certain things. Lord, how come out, I'm not. And do you know the Lord sent a messenger to tell me that you don't understand it now? He said, but you'll understand it later. And when later came, I found out that the people that were getting those jobs, they ended up having to leave and come back home because the job wasn't what they thought it was. But the thing about it was, he was keeping me from this hardship because some people sold their homes to move out of state. I mean, just disrupted their lifestyle. And so he saved me from that, but I did not understand it then.
I want to stay focused on what the Lord says. Lord, let me say what you say until I see what you see come to pass in my life. You need to keep your eyes focused on the Lord. As long as Peter was focused on the Lord, he was walking on the water, doing what no man save Jesus had ever done and has not done since. As long as he was focused on Jesus, the boisterous winds were still there. The distractions were still there. You've got to stay focused. Like Nehemiah said to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. I will not come down. You've got to make it up in your own mind that I will not come down. Devil, this won't work.
Amen. And as you were talking in Isaiah 43 and 26, God was telling, look, put me in remembrance of my word. We've said this many times before. God is not intimidated, but there is a promise that he's given you. You might have heard it in your sleep. You might have heard it on the radio. Somebody may have walked up to you and began to say, God says, but whatever that promise is, and if it hadn't come to pass yet, you put God in remembrance of his word. Oh my God.
And it's not that God has forgotten. It's that faith comes by hearing.
Oh, yes.
And hearing by the word of God. You putting God in remembrance of his word is so that God can bless you, because when you put him in remembrance, you're rehearsing what the Lord has said. And every time I rehearse what the Lord has said, it generates faith down in my spirit. When I start rehearsing that the Lord is my light and my salvation, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. It puts a faith in me. It doesn't change anything with God. He's all God all the time. He's never forgot his word. He guards his word to perform it. But he told you, for your sake, put me in remembrance of my word.
My God, he is so good. Devil, it is not going to work no matter what. He that had begun a good work in you shall accomplish it. It's not going to fail, but he's going to make sure that what he's spoken, he is going to make sure that it come to pass. Devil, the trick is not going to work. I might have to cry sometimes. I may have to stumble a little bit, but God is going to make sure Amen. That I'm going to reach my destination, because he said that I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. He said, if I said it, he said, I'm going to do it.
Another tactic that the enemy uses, in addition to bringing calamity okay. and trouble, mm-hmm. in addition to trying to distract us, he attempts to divide and to conquer us. Mm. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life in him abundantly. Mm. The thief referenced in that scripture is where we get our word kleptomaniac, because it's talking about a kleptist. The thief is a persistent one who comes to steal in the secret, in the steal of the night, rather than in the open. Mm-hmm. He comes in the steal of the night to take away your peace and to take away your joy. You thinking you guarding your house and your car. He doesn't want your house and your car so much as he wants your joy and your peace. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy everything in your life that God has planted and is growing up in you.
He comes to divide and conquer. If you really want to conquer someone, just create a lot of confusion. The Bible says that, you know, that if a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, so he comes to bring that double-mindedness.
Divide you against yourself.
I'm telling you, there's a war that's going on in your members. And I'm telling
Paul you. Paul said that. He said, there's a war in my members. I want to do good,
yes.
but the ability to do good, I can't find it. And the good that I would, I can't seem to do. But the evil I don't want to do, I keep finding myself doing it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me? I come to tell you, Jesus is your deliverer.
Thanks, my God, Jesus Christ, because he knew that the power. The power of Jesus Christ is able to destroy the works of the enemy. The darkness that comes upon you to divide you to the point where you're picking up something that you have no business and has no business in your hand to do yourself harm. I mean, when one commits suicide, it's because they have a divided and unstable mind, and the enemy
giving up hope.
Oh, and they've given up hope. But I want you to know this. The Bible says that Jesus Christ comes to give life and give life abundantly.
And you know why you're saying that right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
If there's anybody listening to this program contemplating suicide, I want to declare on your behalf,
Lord
devil,
Jesus,
it won't work.
It
Dear
won't
God,
work.
In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of the Lamb over everyone listening
yes.
to this recording. We speak life and health and prosperity over them. Hallelujah. They
Lord
shall
God.
Live and not die, just like you told me. You shall live and not die. I speak these words over
yes.
their life. They shall live and not die. These are
Mind
they that have been
enemy.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb
yes.
that have come through great trials and tribulation. They might have done things that they should not have done, but I thank you, God, that when we mess up, you don't reward us according to our iniquities, and you don't hold our sins against us. Would you forgive us of our sins this morning and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Would you change this filthy garment for a garment of pure white? God, I thank you that you're married to the backslider. I thank you when the prodigal son come to himself and thought he would come home, that you didn't sit there in your seat of judgment like you could have. But dear God, you in the parable through the father got up from where you were, went outside to meet the son. You were looking for him before he even came to himself. And when these that have been backslidden decide to come home, may they know today that you are awaiting with great anticipation
God,
the celebration that will go on in the kingdom of heaven. And we, your people that have not left your side, we will not sit in judgment. We will not open our mouth in condemnation,
God.
But we will celebrate and rejoice that our brothers and sisters that were dead are now alive, and those that were lost have now come home. We reclaim every backslidden soul into the kingdom of God. Wash them and cleanse them and do for them what you've done for us. There go we,
yes.
but for the grace of a wonderful
thank
God. We
grace.
Thank you, and we serve notice to our enemy. Devil, it won't work.
Help me.
thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
Jesus, I need just a little more Jesus. I need